Hello, and welcome to another instalment of our occasional podcast called I Wish I Hadn't. I'm Dave Hill.
And I'm John Wyatt. As you can tell from our names, David and Jonathan, we were born in the 1950s, so we've had many years to accumulate embarrassing moments, which we now feel happy to share.
The dictionary defines regret as a sorrowful remembrance, a sense of loss. But we're not in the business of sorrow and loss here. We're dealing with those things in life that we might wish had been otherwise, but which we're now prepared to own up to.
Do you remember going home for Christmas after the first term? I remember that, going home and feeling very sophisticated.
Yes, you certainly thought you were a grown up then.
Yeah,
didn't you? Yes,
because I'd got some new clothes. Mm. I got a stylish pair of shoes, a stylish pair of trousers, and I remember sort of going back to Bemminster and seeing people that we'd been with, and feeling terribly grown up and
slightly superior, I'd imagine, as well.
Rather
yes,
superior,
yes, yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. No, it was, the thing I remember most about going home was that I had to go home on the train always, and it meant, because I had no money, I always had to walk from the college to the Shrub Hill station in Worcester, which is quite a long walk through the town. Now, being young and fit, I was able to do it, but I always remember thinking it's a long way to walk, and it was. And it was the same coming, if I came back on the train after all, I had exactly the same thing to do, which was fine, as long as I didn't have a hugely filled rucksack with me, or, as happened later on in my college course, a great big cardboard box with my stereo in it, which I couldn't leave at the college.
No,
in my room in the hall of residence, because during the holidays those rooms were used, other people slept in them for courses and things. So I would literally have a massive rucksack and a massive cardboard box that I would take through town all the way to the station, and the same coming the other way. I look back on it and I think I couldn't do it now. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah. Well, you stayed in the same room all year. Of course, I left Mr. Kidwise, went home for Christmas. I think I'd been staying with an aunt for about a week up to Christmas, because I didn't want to pay the Mr. Kidwise anymore. Mm. And after Christmas, went back and moved into our flat. Now, there were three of us, but it was in a house which was about three stories, and there were other tenants upstairs. And we had the downstairs room. Robert had a room at the front, then Steve at the back, and then I had the sort of living room.
Mm-hmm.
That was a disadvantage, because it meant that Steve and Robert had to go to their bedrooms to enable me to go to bed at night.
Yeah.
And they liked staying up quite late, and I'd get tired, and I'd be sort of pleading with them, sort of whining, please go to bed. I want to go to bed.
Yeah.
And we had a kitchen and a bog out at the back. We had a shared bathroom with the rest of the house upstairs. Mm. So there were two sisters and a brother who lived in a flat, and then at the top of the house was a strange man who lived on his own.
Yeah.
So you were sharing about six people sharing the bathroom. Yeah.
Yes.
And in our kitchen we had a terrifying gas geyser thing to heat the water. So you probably have a sort of a cursory flannel wash there in the morning, and a bath maybe once a week. But the gas geyser was really frightening, because you would try to ignite it, and sometimes it didn't take. And I can remember running out of the room, because I thought this thing was going to blow, and running into the garden and waiting for the bang
explosion,
as the thing exploded. But upstairs, as I say, there were these two sisters, and one of them had a boyfriend with whom she'd fallen out. And I can remember him coming round one night in a furious mood, and calling they were called Lily and Marion, and Robert and I called them Lolly and Moron. and this guy came round, and he was shouting out for one of the sisters, and he tore one of the banisters out from the stairs. You're going to use it as a weapon.
Yeah.
And Robert sort of retreated into his bedroom, And heard a noise in his wardrobe, large sort of wooden wardrobe, opened the door, and there was one of the sisters cowering inside his wardrobe, saying, please don't tell him where we are.
Where we're hiding. Yeah.
So, yes, I mean, that was an interesting house, but it was a lot of fun for the year.
Yes,
And then, you know, it came to the end of the year. We had finished our first year. I'd done minimum amount of work, really, rather like you.
Yeah.
And we went home summer.
Yes indeed, long summers, because of course we broke up earlier than schools and things.
Yes,
like long summer.
Broke up in June, didn't you? And
I could go and work in the Wimpy Bar or the grain dryer or something like that to earn some more money. Now, in the second year, I have a lot of notes about the second year because I worked in the second year.
Well,
so
me,
it wasn't as interesting
either,
I mean, I remember I got onto the Dance and Disco Committee and helped run the Freeside Discos. They were great fun.
Yes.
And drunken Friday nights.
Yeah.
Because, of course, living such a long way away, Dorset to Worcester, 160-odd miles, and having no transport and not much money, whereas a lot of people would go home to Birmingham or somewhere for the weekend, I was always in college at the weekend, so I was quite happy to be part of the disco scene and help run those. And then you'd have the boring Sunday where nothing was open, because, of course, in those days, nothing was open. Sundays were so boring in Worcester, where I was.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the bar, the student union bar, didn't open until 7:30 in the evening that day. And so it was a really long, drawn-out day. The one thing that I remember most of all about my second year is that I had to do a project, an insect study project, or an animal study project. And I chose to put in an old plastic sweet jar, one of those big ones I managed to get hold of, some earwigs.
Yes.
I decided I would study these earwigs for this project I was doing. Now, I thought that I'd probably got a pair of earwigs, you know, female and a male.
Did you sex them then?
I couldn't sex them, I just guessed, really. Someone had said, oh, well, you know, the female's got the pincers at the back are a certain shape, etc.
Yep.
So I went along with that. Now, I studied them, and I had to write notes on it every day, you know, I'd give them bits of food and stuff. I had to write notes on it every day, so it's a proper study. I think I put various bits of vegetation in there, and a little bit of sugar and stuff like that. And let me tell you that basically over a period of probably about 5 weeks, these earwigs, they were alive, but they did nothing of interest. Not a single bloody thing. And every entry was, you know, and I'd given them names or something. Yeah. Eric's done this and so. And in the end, I had to make it up. I just made it up. And I thought, why did I bother? I could have made all this up anyway and just written down, you know, they danced the tango or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Because they did nothing. They
one of them knitted a sweater.
They scuttled about. One might hide under a bit of grass or something and then appear again, or one would disappear for a bit. And eventually, I just thought, oh, this is ridiculous. So I took the top off. You know, I had holes in it anyway for air, and tipped them out back into the ground outside.
You should have just chosen more, you know, I mean, tigers or something.
I should have. It was all I could get my hands on at the time, and I thought, oh, this is really. So it was so nobody ever knew this, but I'd completely made up this project that.
Did you get a credit for it?
I just got a pass. I think it was
okay,
but pointless. That was really
Well, like you did the discus, I used to do the light shows with Robert and other friends, which meant standing on a table, setting up on a table, two tables, these projectors, and then you had those. Do you remember those sort of paint things that you put in front of them, which
oil,
oil sort of filters, so it made
very Pink Floyd,
very Pink Floyd, exactly. And some of the bands hated them because they really didn't like them. But this is what you do. And we also did them at discos. You know, do them at the History Society discos and the Geography Society discos, the Gay Society discos. I remember doing them. I'd also wrote some things, or started to write, for the college newspaper, doing, you know, sort of reviews and that sort of thing, and worked, I suppose, you know, wrote essays, you know, went to seminars, didn't work terribly hard, and I suppose a couple of times I must have come up to see you.
Indeed, yes, yeah. I mean, we did have visits like that. I mean, I, and I mean, I was, I think second year I had a, I shared a room again. I shared a room with, and that was great because I shared a room with a chap called John Walker who had a demanding girlfriend back in somewhere in Shropshire, so that every weekend I had the room to myself. Now that is, as a second year student, was a real bonus.
Yeah.
My own room, basically, a big room, which that wasn't always a load in, shall we say.
No, you must have been cutting a swathe through the female.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Not as much as I'd like to have done, but yeah, it meant that I at least had my own room there.
Mm.
And visits from friends were always good fun, and you know, when you came up,
I came up with a friend called Peter. Remember, we went to see cricket.
We went to see some cricket at Worcester.
I'm not sure you ever came down and stayed with me.
Well, it may. I must have come down at some point because I can remember coming down to a very, a flat of your. I mean, I went down to a couple of your places you lived in London, and certainly. One of them I know was when I was a student, because I can remember it being quite a narrow entranceway and a hallway.
Well, that would have been the one in Tufnell Park.
Yeah. Were you a student still then?
Yeah.
So I must have come down then.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean I couldn't always afford to come down. That was the thing.
No.
Money was always tight in those days, and you
had
to think about what you spent it on.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
And then, of course, so the second year passed reasonably uneventfully because it was a case of trying to hang on to make sure I made it to the third year. And I did. Passed okay the second year. And they said, yeah, it's fine. You know, third year's coming up.
Yeah.
The third year seemed, and the teaching practices were a bit more demanding because they were longer and more work had to be done.
Yeah.
But the social life just continued as it always had done, really.
Did you work through the summer of the college vacation? I think you claim dole or something in one holiday.
I think there was one where I did. Someone told me I could actually claim some dole money as a student.
That's right.
And I did claim some.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a huge amount because by the time it came through, the summer holidays were almost over, sort of thing. But I remember going to Weymouth to register for it at the time.
Right.
Because someone had told me I could.
Yeah.
I think the most sort of pungent thing that happened in my third year, or the final year, was after a field trip to the Gower Peninsula, and we had to collect various specimens. I can remember collecting sort of razor clams and
earwigs.
Not earwigs this time because they weren't on the seashore, but various sort of bits of crustaceans and bits of seaweed and stuff. And then taking it back at the end of this field trip and putting it, thinking I've got to do something with this and write about it. And then, went out for a drink or something, put it in a plastic bag inside a cupboard, and promptly forgot about it.
Mm-hmm.
Then went home for an Easter holiday.
Right.
And so
like
3 weeks later, came back and opened my room, and it was horrendous. The smell in there was absolutely horrendous. Because basically it was rotten, dead sea creatures, seaweed, and salt water, which is a great combination, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have claimed it was the ozone, but it really wasn't.
Yeah. Well, I hadn't actually got on to the third year.
Oh, yet. Sorry.
I
mean, you jumped ahead.
I mean, the end of the second year, as the end of the second year came, because at the end of the first year, we were in the flat in Tufnell Park, and over the summer holiday, when we were away for 3 months, we managed to sublet the flat to a couple who had run the bar in the student union. So that worked very well. But the next year, Steve, one of the three of us in the flat, was going to go to Austria because he was studying languages, and it was a 4-year course, and the third year you actually spent abroad. Mm. So we knew we would have to let the flat go. So we let it go, and I just thought, well, I'm going to have to come back in the autumn and find new accommodation. And I spent that summer working in the plastics factory, which I think I mentioned in the previous.
Yes. Brown.
Yeah. No. One in Ely.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, yes.
And making money there, which was okay. I did that for about 6 weeks. It was a pretty horrible job. It just determined me never to work in a factory. And then came back for the third year. And of course, the problem there was that I had nowhere to live. Mm. And what had happened was that the Rent Act had come in and landlords had removed a lot of their properties. And so accommodation in London was almost impossible to find. So I slept on the floor of the college for a couple of nights when I first got there with my suitcase. Then I borrowed flats from a couple of people that I knew through Jackie. And eventually I just decided, you know, I was still looking with Robert and he had a sister that he could stay with. And I decided that this wasn't going to work at all. And I said to Jackie's mum, I'm in my third year, I don't need to come into London very often, I only have to be in college 2 or 3 days a week. Can I move out and live, you know, in your
yeah,
house?
Yeah, yeah.
Which I did. So I actually commuted in to college from out of London throughout my third year.
Oh, right, yeah.
And it worked okay,
yeah.
You know, because it just was impossible to, and I could stay with friends in London, you know, who did have places. I mean, some of them were in squats, you know, I mean, it had been that difficult to find anywhere to stay.
Yeah, I mean, I had my own single room in the third year, because that was the thing about the 3 years at college that you did, it was that you were guaranteed a single room in the final year.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
I mean, I never had to look for accommodation, it was always provided, and I say I didn't get much of a grant, but then again, my accommodation was paid for, and my food was paid for, should I want it. So it made it that I was only, it was only my socialising that required my money, really.
Yeah.
They were smaller because I'd been in these double rooms that I'd virtually had to myself. Mm. It was a smaller room, but it was a better appointed one, really, and they were. You know, it was a nice room that I spent quite a lot of time in, and had a, that was quite pleasant. I mean, having almost got given the chop at the end of the first year, by the end of the third year, I'd done what I needed to do, apart from one sort of fairly major project, which I was supposed to take back with me at the end of the for the Easter holidays, I think it was, and so I think we had 3 or 4 weeks off at Easter. But during that time, I had an interview, two interviews. I had an interview in Birmingham to get onto the teaching pool. And what I had
to do...
Were they
fixed up for you? Or
you had to apply for them.
Yeah.
And I applied for these two. And one of the things I had to do to take back with me at the beginning of the Easter holidays was this major project I had to finish. Otherwise, I wouldn't get the marks to pass.
Mm-hmm.
And I managed, in a sort of rushing to get home, etc., to get home and realise that I actually left this whole project in my room at college. and
along
I thought,
with your dead sea
how
creatures.
The dead sea creatures had sort of gone by then. But
okay.
But this is again something I did. Well, I think I told my mum. I didn't tell my dad though, because I knew he would have actually hit the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And so I worked out that if I was going up on the train to Birmingham for this pool interview that I was going to have, that I could detour coming back via Worcester from Birmingham, that I had an hour and a half that I could run and walk from the station to the college, not actually knowing whether I'd be able to get in the room, whether it would be locked or anything, hopefully pick up this project, put it in my bag, run and walk back to the station and get on the only train that would then take me back to Bristol Temple Meads and then to Maiden Newton. And I did it. You know, dear listener, I managed to do it.
Good.
I was absolutely sweating and shattered by the time I did it.
Mm.
But I can remember the feeling of sitting on that train, pulling out of Worcester Shrub Hill, thinking, I can't believe I've done that.
Mm.
If I hadn't done it, it would have all been for nothing.
And you wouldn't have been a teacher.
I wouldn't have been a teacher. No. I wouldn't have been able to persuade anybody that I've done what I should have done.
Mm.
It was a real nightmare moment, I have to say.
Mm.
But I did it, you know, managed to do it. Because I was young and fit then.
Yeah.
Unlike now.
Yeah, I mean, for me also, the studying got much more serious in the third year.
Yeah.
You know, and you knew there were exams coming. Exams never bothered me, you know, I never sort of worried about the sort of thing. I had to, for my final thing, I had to write a 3,000 word thesis for philosophy, which was quite hard work, you know. That seemed quite difficult. And the exams, I stayed with friends while I was doing the exams, because the exams were held in London. You know, I was sort of looking forward to that. You know, I hadn't worked all the way through the third year. I mean, we had, I remember, we'd run a sort of a joke election for a friend of ours, a rather gormless friend called Pete, to be the social secretary, which had started out as a joke and ended up being serious, and he only actually just missed the election.
Yeah.
And I remember a sort of a leaving party we had. We decided to have a bad taste disco as a sort of an end of term thing, playing terrible music. That was quite successful. But yeah, you know, I did my exams and then had to decide what I was going to do next. You, of course, knew, didn't you?
By that time, I'd marked out for
you.
And at the end of it, you know, having thankfully passed and got a pass mark, I had a place on the Birmingham Pool of Teachers, which meant I was going to get a job.
Okay.
Which was quite nice. I mean, I didn't know where it was going to be. I didn't find out until the actual, you know, the summer holidays following on from it, really. So it was a case of wait and see what was going to happen.
So that
next
would have meant that you left college and you started at the next school term.
The very next school term, yeah.
Okay.
Very next school
in
term.
In a primary school?
In a comprehensive school,
a
actually.
Comprehensive school, okay.
In the middle of Birmingham and living in Perry Bar, which is, you know, where you and others came to visit me.
How did you find that place?
Well, I had one of my good friends from college, Alan, lived a lot closer to Birmingham than I did, and said, "Don't worry, I will find us some accommodation. I'll find us a house to share," which he did, and he then, you know, phoned me up and basically said, "Look, I found a house. It's in Perry Bar. We can get to the schools we're going to from there. It's sharing with two girls. We've all got it's two double rooms." We were downstairs, and he said, "Is that all right with you?" I said, "Absolutely, that's fine," because it meant I didn't have to look for anywhere.
And do you remember what you did in that last summer before you
the last summer, 1975? I think that's when I went to France, actually.
Oh, yeah. Of course it was.
Yeah, when Rob and myself went on one of
which
our
we've
French
mentioned in,
sojourns.
In, yeah,
yes,
that's right. Yeah.
Yeah,
well, for me, of course, I didn't have a summer, because what happened was that I sat my exams, and I had some careers advice. We had an interview with a careers advisor at the Polytechnic, and she said, "What do you want to do?" And I said, "Well, I don't really know. You know, I mean, here I am. I'm 21 now. You know, I've done 3 years. I mean, I hope I would get a degree, but I've no idea what I want to do." And she said, "Well, what do you like?" I said, "Well, I like reading books." And she said, "Well, what about book publishing?" I said, "That's a good idea." So I got a copy of a magazine called The Bookseller, and in there was an advert for, you know, wanted an assistant editor in
a company
in North London, and I applied. And I had an aunt who had worked in the book publishing trade. She said, "Oh, I know the managing director there.
Oh.
Doesn't do any harm to mention my
name." No, absolutely not.
You know?
No.
So I went along for the interview, and I said, "You know, oh, you probably know my aunt." And he said, "Oh, yes," he said. And at the end of the interview, I had the job.
So did you know anything about book editing at that point?
No.
So did you have to learn on the job, or did you have to bluff your way into
I mean, I learned how to do proofreading and sub-editing, because that's what Jackie had done.
Yeah.
So she had books, and I could just, you know, learn the sort of symbols for doing that.
Right.
And I kind of taught myself to type a bit.
Yeah.
So I'd made some preparation, but basically, I mean, you know, I was an assistant editor, so you just, you know, basically turned up, and this was your job. But it meant that I did my last exam, and I think I got the acceptance for the job on the morning that I did my last exam.
Oh, wow.
And they wanted me to start as soon as possible.
Yeah.
So I had no summer holiday.
Straight into it.
But the other thing, of course, I then had to do from living out in Essex was then find a new house.
Yes.
So again, I went off on the old, you know, run around of going to places all over North London, some pretty grim places, you know,
yeah,
and
yeah.
going to a place I remember, you know, the horrible smelly houses and other people saying you can't bring anybody back here, you know.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And I eventually found a place which was ideal, and shared with three other guys, and that's where I moved into after literally like a couple of days after finishing my last exam and began my job, you know, straight into work.
Straight into work. I mean, it's yes. I mean, I can remember the interview that I've probably said this before. The interview I had, or when I went to the school they'd sent me to, and the chap there, the head said, you know, I'd like to offer you the job, but you'll have to have your hair cut, because I had very long hair at the time. And I said, that's not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, fine, you've got the job. So I went away and I had about 3/4 inch cut off the bottom of my hair.
Mm-hmm.
So I still had long hair at the start, but it wasn't a problem in the end. So
okay.
So there we go, John. We've sort of gone right the way through.
We have gone right
our whole education.
Yeah, I'm sure
we
missed out.
I'm sure there are bits we've missed out.
You know,
yes, but,
things, but yeah. Yeah, 3 years later, we were. You know, all our education and the world of work,
the world of work
opened
awaits
up
us. Yeah.
With open arms and said,
yes.
Come on in, Dave and John.
Come on in, chaps.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
The water's lovely.
Yes. Little did we know.
Little did we know.
Well, at the end of that, fairly factual, but filled time with talking about our further education, there seems to be a knock at the door, John. It sounds like a knock from someone in pointed, turned-up slippers to me.
Is it the cleaner?
It's not the cleaner. I think it might be the genie.
Who
has turned up thinking, well, you've taught for a long time, chaps. There must be something that you want to remove from your experiences.
I think the genie must be getting pretty pissed off with
this. Oh, God, yeah.
Because
yeah.
he, she, they have acquired an awful lot.
Of stuff that
we
wish we hadn't done.
Yeah,
I don't know
what they're doing with it, but we're glad to be rid of it.
So what would you like the genie to remove for you, John?
Well, there are actually quite a lot of things in all that history, but I think possibly I would like the genie to remove the fact that I had to be in the bed and breakfast place with the boiled egg for breakfast,
yeah.
which was on a noisy road. And it was very, very cold, because I didn't mention that. I think I said that the heating was only on for an hour. I can remember being so cold that I would have to climb fully dressed into bed in the afternoon when I was there, because I was trying to work on an essay.
Yes.
And I was so cold that I would have to get into bed.
Yeah. Yeah. It's.
And I would like the genie to remove that particular moment.
Yes. Well, for me, it's got to be. I really do wish that the genie could remove the fact that I completely forgot to take my final project home with me at the beginning of the Easter holidays, and had to do that mad dash across Worcester to the college and back, and just allow me to, you know, to take it home with me and then just sit comfortably on the train from Birmingham back to Bristol Temple Meads and to Maiden Newton without a care in the world, because I knew I had all my stuff I needed.
Yeah.
So thank you, genie, for bearing with us and removing these things that certainly gave us the jitters as we were going along.
I wish we really had a genie.
Yeah, absolutely.